Good morning, everyone, and good morning. Thank you for joining us here today. Could I ask you a very small favour? Make sure your mobile phones or devices that I now have to call them are switched. We are recording the proceedings today. And also, when we come to the, I will say this again, when we come to the highlight of the morning question and answer session, if you could be so kind as to, I know you're all terribly important people, state exactly who you are and where you come from for the benefit of the recording, that would be great. Well, good morning and welcome to Mothercare's interim results. It gives me great pleasure, as my name is Alan Parker and has recently appointed as chairman of Mothercare to speak to you this morning. Now, clearly it's challenging times for the company. Nevertheless, my initial attraction to Mothercare remains absolutely true. That is to say, the strength of the Mothercare and Early Learning Center as brands, the global opportunity of our international business, and the world-class sourcing operation, which underpins our retail operation worldwide. Now, notwithstanding the current environment, which continues to be very challenging, the performance in the UK clearly indicates a business which has lost its way in its home market over time. Now, in my first 100 days as chairman, I've considered some key aspects of the group, such as leadership and strategy, at home and abroad, our customer attraction in different markets, and the near-term action plan of our new UK management team. And I want to make it quite clear this morning that I am confident that we will restore sustainable profitability in the United Kingdom over time. And to fully realize the potential of our UK business, we decided to undertake a structural and operational review of our planned UK business size and shape. This review will consider the number, format, and location of our UK retail portfolio, as well as the opportunity for e-commerce. It would include right-sizing our overheads to fit a new operating base and the marketing effort required. The review will be complete in the first quarter of the calendar year, with implementation in our next financial year of 2012-13. And we'll update you with the conclusions of this review in the spring. Beyond the UK, my assessment is that our international business is well run and has great potential in major markets, where frankly we're only constrained by our own capacity to grow. I have met in the last 3 months our major large international French franchisees and joint venture partners and really genuinely received very strong messages of support. And I'm impressed with the quality of our business leaders within the international network, which I think is a real endorsement of our global brand strength. I've been equally impressed with our worldwide sourcing operation, which I do regard as a core competency for the group as a whole. Going through the proceedings of this morning, Neil Harrington, our finance director, will take us through the half-year numbers, which highlight the weak UK results compared to our strong international growth. Neil will also explain the exceptional write-off of Early Learning Center UK goodwill, despite the considerable value of the brand worldwide. Neil will also comment on the property closure write-off. As you are aware, 3/4 of these exceptional costs are non-cash items. After that, our UK director, Mike Logue, who is new in post, will be detailing his immediate action plan, which is already underway. Mike joined the company from Asda on the same date as I, just 3 months ago. Mike has hit the ground running and has already put in place a completely new management team for the United Kingdom. Next, Jerry Cole, a 30-year veteran of Mothercare, has thin joke between Jerry and I, who has led the build-up of the international business over the last 10 years, will take us through Mothercare's worldwide network and detail the considerable further potential for overseas development. At this stage, I'd like to take the opportunity of thanking Ben Gordon for his 9 years of service as chief executive of the group. Ben's contribution has been huge, not least overseeing the transformation of Mothercare into a truly international business, and we wish him well for the future. The search for a new chief executive is proceeding on plan, with the board already having reviewed a candidate list, and we're determined to find the right person for this very important role, however short or long a time it takes. In the interim period, I've been asked by the board to assume the role of executive chair. In this role, I will lead our executive team in whatever decisions are necessary to create the structure for long-term success and restore UK profitability. And to be clear, we're going to achieve this through three specific steps. Firstly, the rationalization of our store numbers already underway. Management team driving operational excellence to improve performance. And thirdly, right-sizing our overhead costs to fit in with a new operating base. Looking ahead, over time, we anticipate further potential for sustained profit in terms of growth from a new business base. And despite the need for change, I continue to have a clear conviction that this is an attractive business with strong brands. We have a world-class sourcing operation and significant global growth prospects. Now I'm going to hand over to Neil to take us through the financials.
Thank you, Alan. So for the group as a whole, worldwide network sales increased by 5.4% and total group sales were up 4%. This was driven by our international business, which continues to grow very strongly, with retail sales up 15.7% to £338.3 million in the first half. In the UK, by contrast, trading was very weak, following on from a disappointing second half performance last year. UK like-for-like sales were down 9.8% in the second quarter and down 7% for the second half as a whole. This like-for-like decline includes direct sales, which were negative for the first time, down 4.2% in the first half. The downturn in UK sales and margin has impacted the business before the significant benefits from the property restructure announced in May have been realised. As a result, the sharp decline in trading in the first half has resulted in the UK making a significant operating loss. The UK loss has more than offset the international profit, and therefore the group has recorded an underlying loss before tax in the first half of £4.4 million, and the group's net debt position at the half year was £16 million higher than last year at £24.6 million, driven by the UK trading shortfall. As a result of the decline in profitability and the resultant lower cash balances at the half year, the board has decided to cut the interim dividend from 6.4 pence to 2 pence. The board is confident about the outlook from the group as a whole and the growth of the cash generative and profitable international business in particular. It is, however, prudent to reduce the dividends until the UK trading performance is stable and the property restructure has been completed. Turning then to the income statement, underlying profit from operations reduced from a profit of £14.5 million in the first half last year to a loss of £4.1 million this year. There has been a reduction in the share-based payments charge from £2 million to £500,000. We now expect the charge for the full year to be approximately £1.5 million. Financing, which was positive in the first half, is expected to be a charge of between £500,000 and £1 million for the full year. The first half results include a large exceptional charge of £78.5 million. the majority of which relates to a non-cash write-down of intangibles, mostly goodwill, on the UK balance sheet, which amounts to £55 million. The exceptional items also include a property restructuring charge of £19.8 million relating to the restructure announced in May, and I'll refer to both of these items in more detail later. The non-underlying gain of £1.5 million again includes the volatile non-cash IAS 39 adjustment, which does not affect cash and will reverse in the next accounting period. So, as a result of the underlying loss before tax of £44 million and the net non-underlying charges of £77 million, the group recorded total loss before tax of £81.4 million in the first half, compared with a profit of £0.3 million in the first half last year. In total, group network sales in the first half increased by 5.4% to £623.9 million. Group network sales includes the sales made to our customers around the world, and therefore includes the retail sales made by our overseas franchise and joint venture partners. The increase in group network sales is driven entirely by the strong increase in international retail sales, which increased by 15.7% in the half. UK retail sales were 7.9% lower than last year as a result of the negative like-for-likes and store closures. And UK retail includes direct in-home sales, which were down 4.2% to £42.6 million. The decline in UK retail sales was partly offset by more than doubling of wholesale sales, which includes shipments to Boots under the Mini Club joint venture, which continues to perform well. In the UK, trading conditions became increasingly more challenging as the first half progressed, and the 7% decline in like-for-like sales and the lower gross margin, which I'll cover later, reduced the underlying profit from operations from a profit of £2.8 million in the first half last year to a loss of £18.5 million this year. International profits continue to grow faster than sales, with a 28.8% increase in franchise profits before joint venture startup losses. There was a negative contribution of £2.2 million from our share of joint venture startup losses in the year. The majority of this relates to the one-off costs of integrating the two acquisitions in Australia and converting these stores to the Mothercare format. The conversion program has now almost been completed over 1 year rather than 2 years as originally planned. As a result, more pre-opening and startup costs have been brought forward into the first half. The international joint venture profit share line excludes the royalties we've received from the JVs. If you take royalties into account, we already make a small profit from our three joint venture countries. Overall, in the first half, the UK lost £26.1 million of gross margin compared with last year, mostly as a result of the sales decline, but also from a 400 basis point reduction in gross margin, both falling on a fixed cost base that does not yet fully benefit from the property strategy actions. Our clothing, which is all own brand, performed well, as it has for a number of years. It did, however, have a particularly poor September as a result of the unseasonably warm weather, and we had to increase markdown to retain clean stock levels at the half-year end. The travel market has been significantly affected by customers trading down on bigger ticket items in the difficult consumer environment. We also are experiencing increased competition at the lower end of the price spectrum, particularly on the 40% of home and travel that is not Mothercare own brand product. This has put significant pressure on home and travel margins, a situation which we expect to continue into the second half. Direct has a higher exposure to the home and travel market with a higher average selling price and has therefore suffered disproportionately as customers trade down in the difficult UK environment. The overall home and travel market declined by 10% in July, 9% in August and 10% in September. And we believe that we've held market share in home and travel in this declining market, albeit at a cost to margin. And store costs were £2.5 million lower than last year as a result of the closures to date. UK cost savings £2.8 million, showing that we're on track to deliver the £5 million of cost savings targeted for the full year. As a result of the significant downturn in new trade UK trading in the first half, and the announcement of the major property restructure, we have reviewed the carrying value of goodwill and other intangibles in the group balance sheet, which arose from the acquisition of the early 11% in 2007. In overall terms, the headroom in the calculation is substantial, and shows that the goodwill has significantly more value than recorded in the books. Worldwide, we've more than doubled the number of early learning centres in the 5 years since acquisition to 601. However, in 2007, the goodwill was allocated between the UK and international, and whilst internationally, ELC has grown very rapidly, in the UK, the store closure programme and the trading deterioration has impaired the goodwill, and this has not, and then this has therefore been written off in full. Under current accounting standards, we cannot offset the surplus in international goodwill against the deficit in the UK. The goodwill write-off is non-cash, does not affect the company's distributor reserves or the ability to pay dividends. In May, we announced an acceleration of our property restructure. We have now selected the stores to be closed and quantified the exit costs. These amount to £19.8 million. This includes an estimated £13.4 million of costs expected to be paid to exit the 35 stores where there's no lease expiry. Of the total £19.8 million, £16.6 million is cash and £3.2 million is non-cash. The property restructures will generate significant benefits, which I will refer to later. We've also taken the opportunity to impair the remaining store estate by £1.9 million, given the trading downturn, and there are further head office restructuring costs of £1.8 million, which in part generate the £5 million of cost savings we announced in May and are on track to deliver this year. In total, of the £78.5 million exceptional charge, £59.6 million is non-cash and £18.9 million is cash. Of the cash portion, £2 million has already been spent in the first half of the year. Moving on then to our UK property strategy. Over the last 4 years, we've actively right-sized our property estate to improve the cost base and operational gearing. During this time, we've reduced the group's store estate by nearly a third to 251 stores, moving early learning centre stores into larger mother care stores through 2-into-1s. At the time, we've taken advantage of the weak property market to open 25 of the larger, more profitable out-of-town parenting centres on favourable terms, and we now have 101 of these stores. Through this, we've created a much more flexible estate, reducing the average lease profile from 7.5 years to 4.5 years with lowered operating costs. In May, we recognised that, although this work had put the UK property portfolio into much better shape, the significantly weaker trading impact on the UK profitability gearing remained an issue. We therefore announced the acceleration of the property strategy, targeting a much smaller estate by March 2013, a core of 102 profitable parenting centres with just 164 in-town stores, 94 mother care and 70 early learning centres. In total, we announced that 150 stores would be affected, with approximately 110 stores closed and 40 rents renegotiated at lease expiry by March 2013. The programme is on track, and full details can be found in the appendix to your packs. In the current financial year, we now expect to close 83 in-town stores in total, the majority due to be closed in the fourth quarter once they've had the benefit of trading. And the main benefits of the strategy will therefore, as previously indicated, be realised from the next financial year, 2012-13. The principal benefit of the accelerated property strategy is a removal of costs from the UK store portfolio and the removal of risk and gearing. In total, the benefits from the strategy have increased from £4 to £5 million we announced in May to £6 to £7 million as a result of deterioration in trading in the store closing. By March 13, total annualised rental costs will be reduced by approximately £12 million, a reduction of 18%. Total store occupancy costs, which is rents, rates and service charge, will be reduced by £18 million, and that's in line with the previous guidance. Flexibility will be significantly improved, and risk and gearing will be reduced. We'll lose approximately £60 million of UK sales on an annualised basis from March 13. As I said, the property strategy benefits don't start to improve UK profitability significantly until 2013, because most of the closures yet to take place. This slide shows that if the property strategy had already taken place, the UK would not have been in a loss-making position for the last 12 months. Over the last 12 months, we reported a net UK loss of £10.2 million. We've recalculated this loss on a pro forma basis, assuming that 110 loss-making stores had already been removed, that rent reductions at lease expiry had already taken place, and the cost savings associated with the store closures had already been removed. On this pro forma basis, all of the loss over the last 12 months has been eliminated, and the U.K. makes a small profit. This includes a number of estimates, obviously, but however, it highlights the following. Firstly, the property restructure already announced offsets all of the losses in the U.K. reported in the last 12 months. Secondly, the core target 266-store estate centered around 102 out-of-town stores remained profitable over the last 12 months. This graph then shows the store contribution profile for our current store estate. The red bars refer to stores to be closed as part of the property strategy already announced. They confirmed that, based on trading over the last 12 months, the core target 266-store estate represented by the blue bars is largely profitable, and the store closure program already announced and on track deals with the majority of loss-making stores. Now, of course, if trading conditions continue to deteriorate in the U.K., we will look again at target store estate as part of the review that Alan has announced today. If the review does indicate that further closures need to be made, we're confident that these can be delivered, and indeed we now have a strong track record in this area. The majority of the closures announced are in-town early learning centres. Since 2007, the early learning centre business has been transformed. By March 13, in-town store numbers will have been reduced from 211 to 70 key high street stores. It's this activity that's led us to write down the UK goodwill. At the same time, however, we've created 109 successful new early learning centre inserts within existing mothercare parenting centres. The expansion of ELC internationally across our franchise network has been significant, some way ahead of our expectations, and ELC now has many more outlets overseas than in the UK, with 352 trading. When we acquired ELC just over 5 years ago, it had 302 stores worldwide, and this has been doubled today to 601. Over the same period, the number of early learning centre stores overseas has been quadrupled from 87 stores to 352. Turning into international, which is our biggest driver of both sales and profit growth and remains our largest opportunity. In the first half, we opened 81 new stores, taking the total to 975 in 55 countries. Total retail space in the first half increased by 15.1% and total international sales by 15.7%. As the slide shows, international growth in the first half is in line with a three-year trend, and we expect international sales to continue to grow at 15 to 20% per annum for the foreseeable future, in line with guidance previously given. The profit margin has continued to increase despite the dilution in the second half of this year from the JV startup costs. For the franchise business alone, the profit margin increased by 60 basis points compared to last year to 6% of retail sales. For the full year, we expect the margin losses to be in the range of 5.1 to 5.5%, again in line with previous guidance. Also recently created a fourth joint venture in another of our top 10 growth countries, Ukraine. We've invested £2 million for a 30% equity share in an already profitable and successful franchise business, and the investment will be earnings enhancing from day one, and Jerry will cover this in more detail later. For the half year, we had net debt of £24.6 million compared with £8.6 million last year. This was mostly financed by a £20 million drawdown on our committed facility of £80 million. Tangibles have reduced as a result of the exceptional write-down. Pensions deficit of £55.7 million is £8.3 million lower than last year, but £18.1 million higher than year-end, mostly as a result of a decrease in corporate bond rates. Further details on our pension schemes are set out in the appendix. Overall working capital at the half-year-end, a high point in the seasonal cycle, was tightly controlled and remained the same as last year despite the rapid growth of international and the increase in direct sourcing, which increases both stock and receivables. The first half year-end cash balance is a seasonal low point, and there is normally a net cash outflow in the first half. In the first half this year, there was an operating outflow of £0.9 million compared to an operating inflow of £15.4 million in the first half last year. First half working capital outflow, which has been closely controlled this half at £16.3 million, was approximately half of the outflow, working capital outflow last year. CapEx, net of lease incentive received, is broadly in line with last year. Working capital for the full year will continue to be tightly controlled. We're targeting working capital broadly the same as last year, which is $10 million better than our previous guidance. And the reduction is, of course, heavily dependent on achieving UK sales targets in the second half. So turning then to the second half, where we expect international to continue to grow strongly with retail sales up 15 to 20% and 150 new overseas stores per annum. In the UK, we're planning for a continuation of the tough trading environment into the second half for both stores and direct, with negative like-for-like sales and the continuation of 400 basis point gross margin decline in H2. We'll close 83 UK in-town stores in the full year and renegotiate rents on 30 at lease expiry. Property strategy benefits will be between £6 to £7 million from March 2013. We expect working capital at the year end to be in line with last year, despite the rapid growth of international and direct sourcing. We estimate that CapEx for the year will be less than £20 million. The share-based payments charge will be circa £1.5 million, and we expect to be in a net debt position throughout the year, and therefore the financing charge will be between £0.5 million and £1 million. The tax rate for the full year is estimated at 23%. In summary, therefore, we expect our cash generative international platform to continue to grow rapidly, and Jerry will take you through this in more detail later. In the UK, we expect the UK consumer environment to remain difficult, and we will be focused on reducing our operational gearing significantly, including the rapid downsize of the UK in-town store portfolio. We'll also be focused on delivering important operational improvements in the UK. I will now hand over to Mike Lowe to talk about these plans.
Thank you, Neil. Good morning. Since joining Mothercare in August, my focus has been to spend as much time as possible visiting our stores and talking to our store teams and to our customers about their shopping experience in-store and online. I've been to more than 100 of our Mothercare and Early Learning Centre stores around the country, from Watford to Warrington, from Southampton to Inverness. Despite the trading difficulties, each store visit and each encounter has reinforced for me the reason why I chose to join Mothercare in the first place. Mothercare is a great business with two strong brands which continue to have great potential both in the UK and internationally. Many things have impressed me: the quality of our products, the breadth of our range, and the passion and experience of our store teams. However, many things do need to change. As Alan said earlier, the UK has lost its way, and many areas of our business need to improve. Work to get the UK back on track has started. As a priority, we've moved quickly to appoint a new UK leadership team. This is a cross-functional team accountable for returning the UK business back to profit. Also, as you know, we're conducting a structural and operational review of the UK over the next few months. We will share this with you in the spring. In the short term, the UK leadership team have already agreed a 5-point action plan. We've been listening to our customers and we are taking action to improve value, to implement consistent service and advice across our business, to enhance our digital services, to improve the shopping environment for our customers, and at the same time, we'll be reducing our operating costs. Our progress in each one of these areas will be carefully monitored and evaluated over the next few months. Today, I'd like to focus on three areas in particular: improving value, service, and our digital services. Let's start with value. Value for money is what's important to our customers. In the current economic climate, our customers want better value for money, and we are addressing this. At the beginning of October, we relaunched our price match policy to show our customers that we are serious about pricing. Should our customers find any product cheaper online or in store, our price match policy guarantees that we will match it. In addition to this, we have introduced a trial to actively price match the top 50 branded lines daily across the business, across all our competitors. With Early Learning Centre, we have a strong sales promotion campaign which ensures we offer exceptional value throughout the peak trading period. we are now using more prominent in-store and online marketing to increase awareness of these initiatives. Although it is early days, the initial response from our customers has been very positive. Let's move on to service. Consistent service is another key concern for our customers. Our store colleagues have outstanding knowledge to support parents-to-be and new parents. What should set us apart is Mothercare's dedicated service and advice on items such as bra fitting, car seat fitting, pushchairs, and nursery requirements. And with ELC, it's our playtime program. But I haven't been seeing this dedicated service and advice everywhere. We need to offer a more consistent standard of service right across the business, and we have taken immediate steps to make this happen. We are reviewing the consistency of our service, ensuring every store offers a trained specialist giving the same high level of advice in key areas. Our immediate focus is on bra fitting and car seat training. We are providing more specialist training, and we are introducing service targets for each of our stores. Our intention is to be the best local store for parents, delivering quality, value, and specialist service. And the final key priority we will touch on today is digital, and specifically our website. Although an early adopter of e-commerce, over the past 6 months, our performance has been disappointing. Sales have declined 4.2% in the first half, which is partially attributable to the marked decline in home and travel, which represents 75% of direct sales. Customers expect the best prices and the best service online, as well as in stores. The key to service online is detailed content, on-time deliveries, and a wide range of products. We need to enhance our digital offering, whether that is our website or our mobile platform. That work has started. I'm delighted the recent appointment of a director of e-commerce who brings significant experience from Amazon and eBay. We are already seeing the results of our investment in site optimization as we improve that content and our marketing. Recent trials to improve the look and feel of the site, its navigation, and the additional features such as buying guides have led to significant improvement in sales. These enhancements will feed into our new Mothercare website, which will launch next spring, significantly improving our merchandising capabilities and our overall customer experience. In summary, our immediate priorities in the UK are to improve value for money, of our services, and enhance our digital offering. We are also working on improving our store environment, and across everything we do, as I said, reduce our operational costs. There is a lot to achieve, but with a strong UK leadership team now in place and 100% focus on our customers, we are confident that both Mothercare and Early Learning Centre can return to profit in the UK. Let me hand you over to Jerry Cole, our International Director. Thank you. Good morning. Our international business continues to go from strength to strength, with total retail sales increasing by 15.7% during the first half. In the first half, we have now opened 81 new stores in 30 countries, and we expect to achieve our plan of a 15 to 20% space increase this year. The brand values of Mothercare and Early Learning Centre resonate across the globe, enabling us to expand our geographical footprint. We now have more than 2 million square feet of trading space in 55 countries outside the UK with 39 franchise partners. Over the last few years, we have concentrated on the emerging markets, which have a burgeoning middle class, strong GDP growth, and high birth rates. Building on the success of our two brands, we've been able to aggressively accelerate our store rollout program over the past 5 years. We will continue to open at least 150 new stores per annum for the next 3 years in both our existing markets and new territories. Let's now take a look at each of our regions in more detail. Europe is our largest region with 401 stores.
have 264 Mothercare stores and 137 ELC stores in 29 countries. We've just signed our fourth venture, taking a 30% stake of our Ukrainian franchise business, which I will discuss in more detail later. Eastern Europe continues to perform well, especially in Russia, Ukraine, and Turkey, where we have opened 21 stores so far this year. Russia, our largest market outside the UK, has had a strong first half with sales growing 13%. We now have a total of 73 stores in 11 cities and opened our largest store in the Mall of Russia in Moscow in June at some 9,000 square feet. We have recently opened our online transactional website for ELC in Russia, and I will talk about that later. Whilst the general consumer environment has been marginally weaker this year, we believe that there are still growth opportunities for Mothercare and ELC in both Moscow and the surrounding regions, driven by strong economic growth and government financial incentives to increase family size. Growth has been slower in Greece, Ireland and Spain, but our franchise partners are financially strong and they have also benefited from some of the competition falling away. While markets remain challenging, we are seeing tentative signs of stabilisation in these countries. Moving on to the Middle East and Africa. While the region has had some political unrest at the start of the year, it has since recovered strongly, with our Middle Eastern countries delivering double-digit growth in the first half. We have opened a record 28 new stores during the period, of which 12 were Mothercare and 16 were ELC, bringing our total number of stores to 291 in 12 countries. The Middle East is our oldest region with favourable demographics, 3.5 million births per annum, a young population, and a wealthy economy fueled by the global demand for oil will allow us to continue with our aggressive store opening program over the next few years. On to Asia Pacific, our smallest but fastest growing region, which includes three of our joint ventures. We currently have 281 stores in 12 countries, with the region delivering sales growth of 52% during the first half. Southeast Asia has been less affected by the challenging economic slowdown in comparison to other regions around the world and continues to benefit from its close proximity to China. Now let's take a look at our joint venture operations. Over the last 3 years, we've established a profitable format for the Chinese market and the brand is performing well and gaining traction. Our current stores are located around the cities of Shanghai and Beijing, but we're now looking to venture into new regions. We have recently opened a 2,500 square foot store in Chongqing and a 7,000 square foot store in Wuhan. This fits in with our plans to add larger format stores to our international portfolio to increase our home and travel offer. We have a strong management team in place with good infrastructure to roll out our stores, and we plan to enter 8 new cities next year, opening a minimum of 15 stores. Our second joint venture, India, is a key growth market for the group. Over the last 5 years, we have established a strong foothold in India, 74 stores in over 15 cities, and we are on track to achieve our target of 200 stores by 2016. Strong GDP growth with a rapidly expanding middle class continues to drive consumer consumption, and we are well placed to take advantage of this trend given the high level of the Mothercare brand. Over the next 3 years, we expect to open at least 20 to 30 new stores per annum. To support this growth, we have opened 2 new logistics hubs in Chennai and Delhi. Around 60% of the clothing range for India is now sourced in the domestic market or Bangladesh, which will improve our margins during the coming season. I would now like to talk about our third joint venture in Australia, where we've taken a 25% stake. Mothercare Australia has acquired 3 mother and baby chains over the past 18 months and is in the final stages of converting these stores to the Mothercare and ELC formats. The company has recently accelerated its store rollout program with 30 Mothercare stores and 46 EL stores, giving it a total of 76 at the end of this financial year. It will become a national baby chain with a footprint in Australia of around 200,000 square feet of selling space. Alongside our current ELC stores in New Zealand, we will also be opening our first Mothercare store in Auckland by Christmas. This month, we entered into our fourth joint venture agreement, taking a 30% stake in our Ukrainian franchise business. The Ukrainian franchise has been operating successfully since 2004 and currently has 16 Mothercare and 13 Early Learning Centre stores. Our investment in the Ukraine is a good opportunity for the Mothercare Group, given the strength of the franchise partner, buoyant market conditions, and high brand awareness. The business is profitable, and over the next 5 years, we expect to double the number of stores. Moving on to development. We've now taken our first steps into Latin America, opening two stores in Panama, and we will be opening our first stores in Chile this week. We'll be opening our first stores in Colombia before Christmas. Over the next 3 years, we look to further expand our footprint into Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, and Honduras. We are also researching Mexico and Brazil, and our initial findings would indicate that Mexico is likely to be our preference in the short term. And lastly, e-commerce is a big opportunity for our franchise partners. Earlier this year, we launched our first transactional website for Mothercare in Australia and Ireland. We're very pleased with our performance. In September, we also launched our non-English site for Early Learning Centre in Russia. This website has performed very strongly, and we already receive 70,000 visits per month. Over the next 2 years, we plan to roll out the e-commerce platform to our major partners. Alshaya, our largest franchise partner, will be launching a Mothercare e-commerce platform in Q8 this financial year and plans to extend this across the Middle East region over the next 2 to 3 years. That concludes the international presentation, and I'll now hand back to you.
Thank you, Gary. As you just heard, international continues to go from strength to strength, but just as importantly, has huge potential for further growth. In the UK, we have an immediate 5-point action plan to address the current issues. We're also conducting a structural and operational review of the UK that will be complete in the first quarter of the calendar year. And clearly, conclusion, I must say that this is a challenging time for Mothercare, but I remain confident that we can return to a profitable and growing business. That concludes this part of this morning's presentation.